Well, I've noticed that my wife Nelda and I have changed a little bit over the nearly 20 years of marriage that we've had so far. Both of us have gained master's degrees. We are much better at handling disagreements and being on the same page about things. And I look forward to the time, I look forward in time and realize that we have about 15 more years with children. And then it'll be just the two of us again, like it started out. And I wonder how much more change we'll experience in those 15 more years before we are just ourselves again. We'll have spent nearly 30 years being parents with kids in the home. Today, we want to think about how we can grow together. How we can grow together even though we might be changing, so that by the time things and phases of life come to an end, we are no longer strangers. Some of you have experienced the empty nest recently. You have gone through that part of sending off your last one to college or to a job or wherever it might be. But this sermon is more about any sort of relationship that we might have. Marriage is not the only one, but for many of us, marriage is the main one, our earthly relationship that lasts the longest. I know many of you here have become empty nesters over the last few years, but people in our lives continue to grow and change at least a little bit over time. I've heard of one guy who realized when he retired that he had changed a little. And after he'd spent a week at home retired, the next Sunday he saw the priest who had married he and his wife, and he leaned over to him and said, "Are you sure this is the woman I married?" We change. We grow. We go through different phases of life, and if we're ready to handle the changes that we go through and that our families go through, we'll be much better at navigating the things of life and the future that's before us. Let's lay out a few things here. First of all, I think it's important for us to realize that our choices grow us together or apart. Our choices grow us together or apart. For some of us, it can be hard to admit that we change over time. It's more than just the simple accumulation of aches and age. But we also can change in the things that we fear, in the things that bring us joy. We can work our lives away. And sometimes those parenting years, a family can feel more like a factory. Maybe sometimes it feels more like a boot camp. But if we keep our focus on the things that are the longest, that matter the most, we'll find that we have put our priorities in the right places. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 reads this way. Better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of toil and chasing after the wind. In many ways, this verse is kind of a summary of so many parts and pieces of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book from Solomon, the greatest and wisest of all of the kings of the Old Testament. And his point in Ecclesiastes is that he had chased after all kinds of things that ultimately left him feeling empty and at a loss. He had toiled and worked hard for various things in his life, only to come to the point of realizing that he had not gained as much joy as he expected, and that much of it had let him down This verse summarizes that little bit of wisdom from the entire book. Better one hand of tranquility, better one hand of peace and happiness and wholeness, than to chase after something with both hands and wind up empty because it was worthless, because it was fleeting, because it didn't last. You see, we can in our lives chase after all kinds of things that ultimately have an expiration date. You can chase after your job. You can work tirelessly at it. It can be all kinds of good and beneficial. But there will come a point whenever you have to say, I am now retired. It might be that farmers are an exception to that rule. Some farmers never retire. But ultimately, we all have to say, this is kind of the end. I have to step back from the things that I've done and even things that I have enjoyed for many years. Retirement comes. And hopefully, with the Lord's blessing, your wife will still be at your side. Your husband will still be in your home. There are things that last longer than a job, and things that last longer and matter more than your employment. We get peace and joy. We get tranquility when we are willing to put the most important things first. And putting those in our priority means that we realize we cannot have it all. Your job will end. You might retire. The kids will move out. But hopefully your spouse is still part of your life. If we concentrate on the relationships that have the longest role in our lives and try to make joy and happiness a part of those relationships, then we are investing into something that is less likely to be fleeting and float away and be gone. Relationship experts Les and Leslie Parrott have given out a great deal of advice over the years. And they encourage people to overcome the entanglements of work and parenting so that they can focus on themselves and their relationships. Sometimes couples have to reintroduce themselves after some time has passed. And the Parrott couple encourages couples to do this. Have coffee. Take a walk together. Take a car ride and share something that is in your life that has changed since you first got married. Maybe simply share a new book or a hobby or a changed perspective that you have. Maybe you need to have a conversation that starts with the words, I don't know if I can do X anymore. Maybe the conversation should be, let's try something new. I've always wanted to do fill in the blank. These sorts of conversations allows the other people in your life, your spouse, maybe your kids or who are on your mind, it allows you to bond together, to have choices and relationships that grow over time because you choose to do things and grow in the same direction. These relationships that last the longest, these relationships that are the most important, are the ones that we need to spend our time investing in, even here and now. The second principle that I want to mention today is from the Psalms. And it's a reminder that the Lord governs your days. For those of you who are already or almost empty nesters, you may be feeling that the kids left too soon or that they can't leave soon enough. You see, I was the oldest kid in my family, and so leaving the house, leaving the nest for me meant freedom. I could go to college and make friends there. I could go and do without the hovering of any parent trying to tell me the nitpicky things they wanted me to do or accomplish, and I got to stop mowing the yard. It was a great adventure being the first one off. But Nelda was the youngest of her family. And so her experience of empty nest was entirely different. For her, people leaving meant that it was empty and quiet. And so that empty nest can feel different depending on the person who's there. Regardless of the transitions in your relationships, regardless of the phase of life that you are in, it's important that we remember a simple principle that the Lord governs our days. Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15. But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Believing in the Lord and knowing who he is ultimately comes around to this foundational principle for our lives, that our times are in his hands. That the circumstances that we're in and the phases of life and the things that are going on are things that God has in his wonderfully merciful hands. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what struggle we are facing, trusting him, though it may be hard at times, is something we can grow to do. That he governs our days means that he can be trusted to see us through and to support us through no matter what we're facing. There are many parts of our lives that are out of our control, things that we cannot manipulate or change on our own. Maybe when the kids leave home is one of them. Seems like we've been watching a few sitcoms over the last few weeks as winter has set in at our house and probably has set in at your house too. And one of the sitcoms that we watched in its final episode was about the empty nest. The couple had raised their children, and all of the kids left all at once. The oldest left with her husband and two kids and got a place of their own after temporarily being there in the house. The middle child got a job and was off to follow her career, and the youngest was accepted to college and took off. And with a matter of a single episode, the entire group of kids were out all at once. And as the episode ended, there was a conversation about how empty and change had come upon the home. And as a way of dealing with that change, the couple made a promise that they would do, and that is that they would always leave the front porch light on for whenever the kids needed to come back by. That phase in life may be something that you remember, you may be going through, or maybe it's still in your future. When we trust that the Lord is governing our days, when we trust that he is holding things together in our lives with his merciful and wonderful hand, we are far more ready to accept those changes as they come. Thirdly, lastly, in this final principle of growing together through the changes in life, we need to guard against taking the other person, others, for granted. In long-term relationships, in long-term marriages, it's easy for one or both of the persons to take advantage of the other. As this goes on, a wall can build up of resentment between those people. The longer the relationship, the higher the wall. And it's so easy to take for granted other people. Some common ways that we take for granted the people in our lives. First might be, you will always be here for me. Second, you will always love me. You will always be able to provide for me. You will always be the same. And we will always be there together. These are often assumptions upon which we react in our relationships with others. They are hopes and they are dreams, but they are not necessarily reality. In order to guard against taking others for granted, in order to help preserve a relationship that has lower walls of resentment, I think this word from Ephesians would be wise for us to hear. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ Jesus forgave you. Being kind and compassionate means looking at the other person and reacting in ways that they need, that they should have, things that they need to have going on in the relationship. Kindness can mean becoming useful to them, doing things that they need done, being helpful and kind, not taking for granted the people in our lives. My family has transitions coming, and I know it. I can count the number of days I might have left with Ruth in the house. Joey, I'm counting years. And the transitions are coming. The changes are moving forward in ways that I cannot stop. I cannot alter its course. But what I can do is invest in the relationships so that we grow together through the years. We have to focus on what is most important, understanding that we can grow together or we can grow apart, but it is really up to us. By putting a priority on the people in our lives that have the longest yield and the greatest tranquility, we're investing in our own long-term joy and peace. Who's the most important person in your life? Who has the longest staying power? And what can you do to grow together with that person this week? One relationship that we should be investing in is our relationship with God. Through prayer and worship and reading God's word, we invest in an eternal relationship. By far the longest staying power, by far the longest that we will have. Investing in a relationship with God is one that will reap dividends far beyond any other relationship we have in this world. This month, as we have this emphasis on deepening a heart for Jesus, I ask you, are you investing in that relationship too? Are you spending the time needed to cultivate that, which is our deepest and most important? As we get ready to have this invitation song and close this service out, It's an opportunity to reflect on your relationships, whether they be with your family or they be with your God. Investing in those relationships matters for our lives. And we can certainly chase after the wind. We can chase after all kinds of things that don't really matter in the end. But if you want to have a handful of tranquility and joy and peace, invest in the relationships that are the most important. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are reminded from your word of these bits of advice. We are reminded that there is a choice that we make to invest in things that matter or to waste our time on things that don't. Lord, we pray that you'll give us the wisdom to see the difference. Lord, we pray that as we think about the relationships in our lives, that we will cherish, strengthen, and do what we can to grow together. But Lord, we are also reminded of the most important relationship. We are reminded of a relationship with you. Lord, we ask your blessing on our families. We ask your blessing on this church. And Lord, we ask your blessing on our relationship with you, that we might grow more deeply in love with the God who made us and saved us and calls us by name. Amen.